This episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising is sponsored by you. That's right, you, all of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Spotify, shout-outs on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases, all make this show possible week in and week out. And for that, we thank you, homies. Keep supporting us. Inner Hoa Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoa Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who last time was recording this episode had an electric foot warmer, and now my titties is sweating. What's going on, New York? Figure it out.
Typical New York shenanigans, I tell you. And Akua, pronouns she and her, your favorite bald mental health therapist, Black, monogamish, demi.
You just be dropping shit. Where'd monogamish come from?
I just be here. I just be vibing. And you know, I can't put a label on nothing because I just be vibing.
There we go. I respect
it. I'm always down with the shit.
That is true. That I can confirm.
That's my new intro.
I love it. Every episode of the Inner Hoa Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. Today on this episode, we're talking about HSV2, STIs, and open relationships, misinformation about horny space aliens, alcohol and sex, and words of quote-unquote wisdom from one's parents.
I'm sorry, that just, the horny alien took me out. I had to recenter. If you would like to follow along with the conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hoa Uprising, or tweet us at Inner Hoa Uprising without the G on Twitter. We're also at Inner Hoa Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook.
That we are. All right, let's get into our first segment. This segment is called Fuck Is That Sound?
Hey! Ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit.
It is an analysis of horny and or problematic songs from yesteryear. What are we getting into today, Akua?
Today, we are talking about Blame It by Jamie Foxx.
Ooh.
And it came on my speakers in my car in the past week. And I didn't realize how problematic the song was. I was just always bumping.
Take us through it because I'm scared. Listen. You said that and I was like, oh, man.
So we know the chorus. We know the chorus. We're gonna ruin every song.
Damn it!
Every last one.
All right, let's do it.
So we know the chorus. Blame it on the goose.
Got you feeling loose.
Blame it on the charm.
Got you in the zone.
Blame it on the alcohol. Blame it on the alcohol. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So here we get into the verse.
Oh God. Okay.
Hey, she says she usually don't, but I know that she frontin' cause shorty know what she want, but she don't want to seem like she's easy. I hear you saying what you won't do, but you know we probably gon' do what you've been fiendin' deep inside. Girl, what you drinking? No. Gon' let it sink in here for the weekend, thinking we can see what we can be if we press fast forward. Just one more round and you're down. I know it. Fill another cup up. Feeling on your butt. What? You don't even care now. I was unaware how fine you was before my bus set in. So basically, as we listen to the song, if we really listen to the song, he's doing what a lot of predatory people do in the clubs. Mm-hmm. And just feeding you liquor until you loosen up.
It's giving date rape vibes. And I don't like it.
And it really was the filling of the cup up, feeling on your butt. What? Like, how you pouring a drink and now I'm loosing you, touching on my booty.
When I first said no. Because
when I probably first said no.
She did first say no.
Yeah, she usually don't. She's not doing it.
What I'm not going to do, yeah.
You said, you assumed I'm fronting. If you pressed fast forward, quote unquote, we can get to what you want to do. Shame, shame.
Oh, shame. No, Jamie. Oh, let us get no.
down. Let's get down to T-Pain first.
Okay.
I can't remember the cadence. I can't remember the melody. This girl, I know you feel good, just like you look. Couple more shots, you open up like a book. I ain't tripping, shorty, I ain't tripping. I'm going to take a shot of Nouveau. It's going down. We can go and kick it like judo. You know what I mean? Shorty got drunk, thought it all was a dream. I made So I made it say, ah. Now she got her hands on my legs. Got my seat all wet in my ride. All over my ride. She looked me dead in the eye. My pants got bigger. She already knew what to figure. I had her looking at her boyfriend like, fuck that nigga.
Oh, no. I don't like it. What'd you say? How do we get here?
How we get here?
Years of rape culture, my friend.
So I was listening to this and I said, I was bopping, but I wasn't ever listening.
I wasn't ever listening either. I knew it was like, because there was a lot of songs. There was also a Fabulous song, but he beats his wife. So
here we go, okay?
And then also Trey Songz, but he is an alleged sexual harasser, if not like rapist. So there was a lot of songs where it was like, oh, have a little bit more booze. It'll get the girls loose. But this has gone a little bit further than I thought it was going to.
This is like intentional and premeditated.
Yeah, it is. You know what? We should do a series. A series ass bitch. Sorry, it's the producer in me. I can't stop. I'm gonna say we should do a series of all of the alcohol songs though. Cause now I'm like, ooh, how does this stand with what was the Fabulous one called?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
I don't remember either.
Maybe Bottoms Up is Fabulous.
Maybe it was both of them, because the one I'm thinking of is Bottoms Up with Nicki Minaj.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
We should. I'll get on that.
There we go. Yeah, it was the thought it was all a dream part for me.
It was the thought it was all a dream.
Not she
it
blacked was out. She's like, did that shot. Happen?
When you wake up and you're like, yo, did that happen?
Yeah, that's a problem.
I wanted to be fully lucid and consenting to this. Maybe not as lucid, but consenting.
The sad thing is, like, when did this come out? When we were in high school, maybe middle school? Somewhere around that time.
This came out, I felt like this came out in my college years.
Oh, not me making myself younger than I am. 2008. Wait.
Oh, child.
We weren't even in high school.
No, we
were. Oh, yes, we were. Okay, now I'm making us younger than we are. Yeah, so just like thinking about how the men who we went on to encounter in clubs and stuff like that were like indoctrinated by this music,
this culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this reminds me, different story. I remember I went to a Caribbean event with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I got really, really, really drunk and ended up fucking this guy. Mm-hmm. But, and then the next day did not remember anything. Like, did not remember anything. And they had to tell me and I was just so embarrassed. But then he hit me up and he was like, oh, I didn't know you were that drunk. We would have never done anything. And I was like, before I got that drunk, I told you I was going to fuck the shit out of you. So we're good. Like, we're fine. Okay. We're good. He was really apologetic and he was like kind of scared. And I'm like, no. Yeah. Like, I clearly, in a very sober mindset, I was going to fuck the shit out of you. I didn't plan to get that drunk to do it, but the Henny kicked in. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
They're not all indoctrinated, I guess. But.
Yeah. Which is good.
That's on a lighter note.
Should we read the bridge? It has Henny cups in it. I don't know if it matters to your thesis.
No, it doesn't matter. You know, it was a time where everybody just loved Henny like myself.
Yeah, I remember one time me and my friend, we were at a photo shoot. Because she's always been like a photographer. So we were at a photo shoot supposed to do these pictures with these models and this creative director. I'm using quotes if you're not watching on YouTube. So the models were late and the creative director was just like, I was there for emotional support. I was her emotional support dog, Sam. And it's just like, he like kept pouring us cups of Henny. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you trying to do here, sir? This is the photographer. Right. I mean, the bottles did come and then he tried to feed them Henny too. But it was just like, oh, women are here. I'm a man in a position of power. Alcohol, exactly. I hope the night ends in my favor type thing.
And that's, it's creepy on top of that, but like, we're also supposed to be here doing a job.
Right, exactly. And like, you don't, as somebody who used to like do like weddings and stuff like that, like after the night, after you're done with the videography, it's like, oh, do you want something from the bar? Like, that's fine.
You do the job first, and then it's like, hey, y'all trying to chill. Exactly. Here's the Henny. Not before the job. We're going to be drunk.
Yeah, for a photographer. Like,
how am I supposed to
pose? Heads all cut off in the picture and shit. Like, what do you want here, sir? Yeah.
Oh,
no, he was just being predatory. Okay, I have something to say about a different song, if you'll allow me 5 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, backstory. Sometimes I get in my little car-y, and sometimes the radio's on. Mm-hmm. And these radio-ass motherfuckers love to play this. What is it called? First Class by Jack Harlow. You know that song?
No, I probably heard it.
Okay, it goes like, before. So it samples Glamorous by Fergie. So it's like, I've been a G, up in the L, sex in the A.
Oh, yes.
M, ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I hear it and I'm like, yeah, it's not giving Fergie though. I want that Fergie. I need what I came for. It's like a taste of food. I want the real food.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, the other day I actually played it and I was listening to it back and I was just like vibing. Like, yes, this is like 2007. I love it. But do you remember, I got to the end. Do you remember the words of wisdom that Fergie's father gave her?
No.
At the end of the song.
So what did he say?
Okay, so at the end, she's like doing this like breakdown or whatever in the bridge. And she's like, I'm glad my dad had told me so. He let his daughter know. And then it goes into, if you ain't got nobody, take your broke ass home. And then she's like, my dad, it's over. So if you ain't got no money,
take your part. Yes.
And I was like, why did her daddy tell?
Because he didn't want these predatory men trying to get her with the lack of funds she has. He said, if you have run out of your cash, go home. That's it. The night is over. Go home.
That's a good point. It's just the delivery, though. I don't know. My dad is a very kind person, so just imagine him saying that to me is funny. Take your broke ass home, bitch. Damn.
You ain't got
nobody.
Take your broke ass home. You ain't got no money. Take your broke ass home.
We should have listened to Fergie.
We should.
We would have all owned homes by now.
Nah, I feel like I have listened to Fergie. At some point, I'm like, right, girl, I'm tapped out.
It's cool, yeah, that's true. A cool one does listen to Fergie. Broken out, a cool is like, nah, I'm going home. I don't need to be here anymore.
I've reached the point. So does a social battery drain. I spent more money than Chase was. Chase talking about, girl, is you all right? Because we got bills. And I'm like, all right. Let's go home.
That is funny. All right, let's move on to our next segment. This segment is called Fuck Is This?
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
It's a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. So, Akua, have you heard a particular story about NASA and nude photos?
No, and I need to hear it.
Oh, okay. It's good that you haven't heard it, but it would be a little bit more interesting if you had. So, going around on the internet recently was like articles being like NASA is sending nude photos to space in attempts of luring aliens.
No, I saw that headline, okay. Yes. And I was like, what?
Yeah, what do you think about that? Like, what does that make you think?
So they are launching naked pictures of people, supposedly,
into
space to lure aliens. Why? My first question was like, why do you think the aliens are going to be attracted to us? Two, I bet this is white folks. Y'all sending white people nudes out in space thinking that's going to attract some aliens.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Three, how are you doing that? Is that like a... Is it like a, what's the word I'm looking for? A projector? Like, how is that's this mad happening? Funny.
Your news is on blast on the, like, the surface of the moon.
In the void of space.
That's the best place for my news, nigga. And what do you think about it scientifically, I wonder?
It sounds like it does not sound scientific. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I need to hear what the hell is happening.
I think that your first instincts were right instincts, because the story that was circulating is not all that accurate to what is actually happening. So, according to Snopes, the debunking website, the claim that NASA scientists plan to launch pictures of naked humans into space in hopes of luring aliens to us was originally published by the tabloid publication, the U.S. Sun, May 3rd, and was subsequently shared by some news outlets and posted to social media. So that's the context of it all. A NASA spokesperson told Snopes that the idea was a thought experiment partially authored by two NASA scientists. So it's not NASA. It's niggas who happen to work for NASA. was not under the direction of the U.S. Space Agency. Furthermore, an author of the study told our team that the peer-reviewed research was published as a scientific concept to describe one way of possibly communicating with life beyond our planet. Should it exist, it is not an action plan. So people were like, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if...
Mm-hmm.
And then additionally,
they were high, weren't they? Yeah.
I mean, I'll read a little bit of the article in a second, but let me show you. So there is a photo of these naked humans. What do you think that it looks like before I show you the picture? I will show you.
Of the naked humans?
Yes. What is your hypothesis of what it will look like?
I'm seeing a very generic photo of a naked Adam and Eve, like that is in white. yeah, like something I've seen in like a science textbook or something. Like just
you're on a track. You're not exactly right, but you are definitely on the right track. I'm going to send you the picture of what the proposed idea would be to send.
Yep. That's it.
So describe what you're looking at.
So it is a figure of a male and a female naked, and they're kind of waving high. It's single form. There's no like real depth to it.
Yeah, it's against, 2D illustration.
Yeah, it's yellow lines against a blue background. It looks like a fourth grader drew it. I'm gonna give it a fourth grader.
I wish I could draw that good in fourth grade. I can't even draw that good now. It's not good, but I can't draw.
Yeah, but I can't draw because they would got some stick figures out of me. The aliens are like, what the fuck is this? We not going there.
Who the hell?
They got some stick figures out of me, bitch. And a car, a rectangle with some wheels, okay?
The sun in the corner.
The sun in the corner, bitch.
Oh, man. That's so funny. So many art classes, and I could never learn how to draw.
And nigga never learned nothing.
Possible. We were failed. Also, these people are clearly white.
Clearly.
Because of their hair. Or they're not black, which is wild because humanity started in Africa. Our hair was kinky. It was to protect us from the sun.
I mean, homegirl, though her hair is not... kinky. Her body look a little black.
She's a thick ting.
She thick.
They might have done They might have tried to do a Well, they definitely are doing a what's conventionally attractive situation. Because why is the man not thick? You know, these people could look any type of way.
Any type of way. He got defined pecs.
Right.
Abs going on. Exactly. You know, very thin centered.
Exactly.
But homegirl got some hips on her.
She does. She does.
She definitely got her BBL going on, flat tummy, hips.
That is so funny. Okay, so here is why, actually. I'm going to read a little bit from a Smithsonian article. NASA scientists, not NASA, scientists from NASA, want to send nudes to space. This is an article by Sarah Kuta, written May 18th, 2022 in Smithsonian Magazine. A drawing of a hydrogen atom, a map of Earth, a visual representation of DNA's double helix structure. Scientists hope that these and other messages written in binary code of zeros and ones will resonate with extraterrestrial life forms in the Milky Way galaxy and invite them to strike up a conversation with Earthlings. And if they don't, maybe the nude illustration researchers intend to transmit into space will. Researchers from a range of institutions, including NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, recently published their proposal for communicating with aliens in the open source scientific repository ARXIV. What? ARXIV? ARXIV?
I don't know.
Though the decision to include pixelated drawings of naked humans in the mix may seem odd at first blush, researchers have good reason to include them, reasoning that aliens would naturally want to know what humans look like.
But we don't look like that.
That is true. And maybe aliens don't want to know.
Why don't we... I'm going to get into that after you finish the article.
Oh, no, I want to hear that. Go ahead.
My thought was... why are we trying to reach out to aliens? Let us leave those aliens alone, number one. They don't want us. They don't want to know us. If they want to know us, they come find us. If they're so advanced that they can translate this binary code and see the depictions, they don't want to find us. That's they saw it. Us and was like, that's ghetto.
I think alone. That's it. Are you familiar? Go ahead. Number two.
Number two, you know, let's say the aliens do want to speak to us. Mm-hmm. We strike up a conversation. Mm-hmm. America... does not have the intellectual range to speak with these aliens.
No, okay? They can't even speak with other people.
Other
they
people.
Can't even, according to this article, they can't even not spread misinformation.
These aliens don't want to talk to us. They don't want to talk to us. We ain't got nothing to add to the conversation.
We have nothing to offer. We are like in eighth grade and they're in grad school. They're getting their PhDs.
They get their PhDs. Talk to us like we children. Number three. Let's say these aliens did want to talk to us. We're going to exchange technological information. Capitalism won't let us take that anywhere. There are other people in other countries with expounded amount of information, research, and technology, and we can't even have access to that across the river. And you want to talk to the people across the galaxy and do what?
Niggas can't even share the recipe to the Pfizer vaccine.
Come on now.
You raise great points. Yeah. I don't know. Like, as somebody who is, like, into space science and stuff like that, I definitely agree that I don't think that as Earth we are ready for that kind of shit. It will go bad. Because it's going bad. So it will go worse.
It's going bad.
It will go worse, probably. But does that mean that you shouldn't try...
For Earth, yes.
I mean, they're not even doing it. This was just a thought experiment.
This is just a thought. But for Earth, yes. We need to stop trying stuff. unless the stuff
it's like clean your room before you invite people over type
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah, unless it's going to help. The things you're trying is going to help us right now. At least stabilize. Don't try other things. I'm tired.
That makes sense.
And it's us going to bother other good people. Like, they are fine and content without us. Leave them alone.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are. I think that that's the thing. Have you heard of this concept called, I think it's called the Fermi paradox, but this article says Fermi complex, but it's the same concept. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's this guy named, I forget what his first name is, Fermi, and he was like a... theorist of mm-hmm. what was the shit physics mm-hmm. theorist and the whole like contradiction or whatever is like, if the universe is so vast, there must be life, logically mm-hmm. thinking it, because Earth can't be it, bruh.
We can't be it.
Like, what?
this is not the greatest the universe created. I'm sorry,
it's so big and it's existed for so long that like other intelligent life must exist. But if they do exist, why have they not made contact yet?
Because we ghetto.
Exactly. Yeah, I also, that's what I think too. So there's a lot of different like hypotheses to address the contradiction or whatever. Like some people mm-hmm. say it's like a, I forget what it's called, like a stairs theory or something like that. Where like mm-hmm. Intelligent life, like we started in the fucking water and we was just little mm-hmm. amoebas and stuff like that. And now we're hosting podcasts for no specific reason. But... like it gets up to that point, but the mm-hmm. growth of like intelligent life can never handle it. So it's like how we're like on the brink of destruction in this planet. Like the hypothesis is that all other intelligent life has done that and they kind of just like
that.
Slope mm-hmm. off, or other things prevent them from ever quite getting there, whether it be like lack of resources or mm-hmm. other like celestial shit and stuff like that. But another hypothesis is that the civilizations that are so advanced don't care about us.
They don't. And that's the one I want to go with. Either the first one or this one. They have found a way to survive. And they are like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've learned from people before just to mind our business. To drink our water and mind our business.
Which is interesting.
They've seen it happen time and time again. It's like, you know what we're going to do? Stop looking for people.
From like a gossipy standpoint, like I want to know the space gossip though. Like who did you interact with and what fucked up?
I need to know the history. I need to know. Like
who was wildin' pre-Earth?
Pre-Earth.
Like, oh, you think you're messy? These bitches were messy.
And you know, that's the funny thing. I don't like in real time tea. I actually do, but like, mm-hmm. I love historical tea. Like, I love reading the show. They do what it is.
Exactly.
And if they do, oh, shit. Nah, how'd it turn out?
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we have established that these aliens are not interested. But continuing with the article, the proposed message won't be to first include nudes. I don't know why we're even calling it nudes. I think it was an anatomical depiction.
Yes.
Of humans. Like, yeah.
If it wasn't a medical book, we're not calling it nude.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an illustration.
Exactly. Exactly. In 1972, researchers launched the Pioneer 10 space probe, which contained a small gold plaque with an illustration of a naked man and woman, along with Earth's location in the galaxy and other messaging. That's mad funny, because imagine if these alien niggas were, like, violent or something, and it was like, ah, here's where we live.
Here's where we live.
Come through.
Come find us.
This is a party of seven. And they just rob us.
They gonna come and rob us. Clear our shit.
It's not clear whether this is the duh sentence of the article. It's not clear whether extraterrestrials ever received Pioneer 10's message. Like, yeah, I think that would have been big news if it was clear. But the probe sent its last signal in January 2003 while it was 7.6 billion miles away. Imagine being 7.6 billion miles away. I can't actually fathom that.
I can't. I'm like, where would I be?
That's very far. That's quite fucking far. The latest bid to communicate with aliens dubbed a Beacon in the Galaxy, or BITG for short, is a follow-up to a 1974 interstellar message scientists sent from the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico to a globular cluster some 25,000 light years away. That note contained a crude stick figure representation of a human. Oh, it was a Kua. You was alive in 1974?
Bitch, I did it. I sent it.
A DNA double helix, atomic numbers of the chemicals necessary for life on Earth, and a drawing of the telescope which collapsed in 2020. NASA also tried to, damn, niggas is really trying to make contact.
That's it.
NASA also, especially in the 70s, what was going on? I guess after we went to the moon, we were just like, let's keep going.
Let's keep going.
Damn, and we went nowhere after that, son. Niggas haven't even made it to Mars. NASA also tried to communicate with extraterrestrials when it launched Voyager 1 and 2 in 1977. Both spacecrafts contained 12-inch gold-plated copper phonograph record with images and sounds from Earth, including greetings in 55 languages. See, that was the pre-year, though. If we had on a phonograph, they would have been here by now. They'd be like, these things is cool.
What I'm imagining, because, and I'm not sure if there's like a scientific reason in which they're sending gold. I'm thinking of like a very vain reason why they're sending gold.
Mm-hmm.
But like maybe, you know, gold is indestructible or like.
I mean, it's very soft though, so I don't think so. But yeah, I don't know.
But I'm thinking, you know, that the extraterrestrials did get the gold plaque and like there is other valuable minerals and materials. And they're like, this little trinket, and just threw it away like a copper penny. They're like, oh, this is a cute little drink. Toss this away.
That's mad funny.
These broke ass niggas. Just like, threw it in a pile. Oh, space junk. We out here trying to send our finest.
So funny.
Like, please come talk to us. And they're like, oh, peons.
Y'all still use gold?
Y'all still use gold? We wipe our ass with gold.
Exactly. Oh, man. All right, let's skip down a little bit before we get to our next segment. If humanity were receiving a message containing these depictions, it's not clear we would understand what they meant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the people who, I think, published the study, which, yeah, it would just be like, what the fuck am I...
What is...
Who is that?
Some squiggles. What's some gold? What's supposed to do with it?
Oh, man. Instead, they plan to focus on concepts that any intelligent life form would presumably understand, math and physics. Okay, I think these are other people. It was kind of silly for me to skip down because the article's almost done. let me go back. Let me give more context then. I was like, let's get back. All right. These chase messages gave rise to a more offbeat and unofficial transmission in the 1980s. Scientific artist Joe Davis objected to the fact that NASA's messages didn't convey the female reproductive system. You see how misogyny comes into everything? Because what was even the point of doing that? Like, what? So he recorded the vaginal contractions of ballerinas and other women and made up a mashup of electronic music and spoken words based on the data. What?
What?
I'm actually mad I skipped that. See, the first time around.
Y'all are just sending nonsense into space. And I'm tired.
How did he do that?
They are smoking weed in NASA. And
these niggas are doing shrooms. They're getting high.
They're just high and just tall and just with massive amount of money just doing shit. Why did it have to be ballerinas? Exactly. Why is it the uterine contractions? Exactly. How does that remedy the fact that the female reproductive system was not depicted in this illustration?
How are they going to understand what that means?
How are they going to know? And then you made it into an EDM mashup. What the fuck are they supposed to do with that?
This nigga just wanted to vibe. Honestly, I want to hear it though.
They were high as shit. I'm sorry. Because none of that made any sense.
Davis covertly transmitted Poetica Vaginal into space using the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's million-watt radio telescope.
He was high. He did it without even permission. He was high as shit. Ooh. I'm annoyed.
That is so annoying. Like, niggas can't even get into MIT. You're just like tinkering with their million-dollar equipment, sending out pussy sounds. Let me send that mac and cheese sound out. Oh, God.
Annoying.
All right. So according to him, I guess the proposed message is more straightforward. Yeah, but what is it, though? It's like some fucking, what is that shit? You know those art shows that you go to, like interpretive dance type shit?
Dance, yeah. What the fuck am I looking at?
One time I went to this interpretive dance show. I'm going to go to it again because I was like, that was kind of interesting. But like they had like belts around their waist and like attached to it was like long, like aluminum pipe. And they were just like banging the pipe on the ground. Like they were just pelvically busting. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I saw it in college. I had to write about it for my art class. I was like, I don't know what it meant. I don't know what he was trying to convey.
Oh, shit. Yo, and we are the people that want to go find the other people in the space. This is what we're going to... This is supposed to communicate with them.
Oh, God.
Aluminum pipe thrusting onto the ground. And we call it art. I'm so sick of y'all. Please, let us make communication so they come take me off this planet. Let me go with that.
Right, I would rather be with the aliens. The proposed message is more straightforward, though it will contain the human form. It won't contain references to human culture. Oh, okay. They're talking about the little stick figure nudies now. Okay.
Okay.
Including images of humanity's greatest art and architecture would make the message prohibitively large, the researchers argue, and the aliens may not understand what they mean. I love how we're arguing what these beings that we cannot fathomly, like, we can't fathom who or what they are. Like, oh, they won't understand that, but they'll understand my shit. How do you know? If humanity were receiving a message containing these depictions, it's clear we would not understand what they meant. They write, instead, they plan on focusing on concepts that any intelligent life form would understand, math and physics. For now, the message is basically a rough draft, though the scientists want to someday transmit it from the powerful 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope, or FHMAST. Oh, no, it's just FAST in China, and the Allen Telescope Array in California. To a specific section of the Milky Way they believe is the most likely place for life to have developed. So they go into the Poppin' area. All the girls are. The ultimate goal is to start a dialogue with intelligent extraterrestrial beings, no matter how far in the future that happens. And though the nude illustrations are intended to serve a practical, non-sexual purpose, the scientists are taking Carl Sagan's open-minded approach all the same. As the astronomer once wrote, even if the aliens are short, dour and sexually obsessed. If they're here, I want to know about them. The fuck was he talking about?
Girl, what the hell are you talking about?
Why do they have to be short? Like, why can we just not body shame for one moment in our entire lives?
Moment.
Like, what?
I'm tired. I'm up.
And if they're sexually obsessed, have you seen this planet?
Have you
did you hear Jamie Foxx's blame it on the alcohol? No, I think he died before that, but still. The fuck? All right.
Nah, but I am trying to fuck some aliens, so. Like, if we make contact, I gotta put that on my bucket list. Like, don't. If we make contact before I leave this planet, I'm fucking an alien.
Yeah, that's bucket list type things.
I'm not about to go.
Have you ever read Xenogenesis series, aka Lilith's Brood, by Octavia Butler?
No.
Okay, I won't give away too much of the plot. Love it. 3-part series. You could read the first one and like be fine. Basically, like, humanity ends and alien species comes to planets that like are ending to like mate with that species because their species is strengthened by mixing genetically with other species. Okay. So they like humans for God knows what reason. No, the book actually goes into why. And the way that they mate is very interesting. I'll leave it at that. Ooh. There are alien human orgies in that book.
Yes. I gotta get myself into some Octavia Butler. I keep playing.
I love her, but you know, she's best. But like, such a weird bitch.
And I love it.
So good. What a great mind. All right, let's move on to our next segment. But first, let's tell you that next week you can actually sit in on the virtual audience as we record an episode like this. And it's a fun time. I don't think you want to miss out on this and future monthly episodes that are recorded like this. This one we're going to release to the public because we missed an episode last week. But in the future, those are actually only Patreon episodes. So if you want to keep up with those, hit the Patreon link in our show notes and join our community and support your fave queer black feminist led sex podcast. Also, we are going on break in a few weeks, so if you want to keep up with us and our events, the content we post, you know, sometimes Akua does episodes where she'll interview somebody, Rob does writing about their life, me and Rebecca host events, sometimes I do a newsletter. It's all on Patreon. For $2 a month, you can access all that shit. For $5 a month, you can sit in on the virtual audience and get our exclusive Patreon-only episodes. Cool, you have something you want to talk about? You want to talk about your poem?
Upcoming, I'm going to give you guys the part 2 of the sexual disorder series with Dr. Money, another bad, bald, black mental therapist. And I've been doing a little writing, so I'm going to slide that to y'all too. Cute little poem.
Yay.
Take it back to fifth grade.
I'm excited. Excited to read it, and I'm excited to watch. All right, let's wrap up with our last segment of the day. This segment is called Fuck You.
Grandma! Yeah. Are you a hoe?
If you'd like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send us your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. This is a segment where we read your listener letters. Disclaimer, if we do give any advice, the advice given in this segment is general advice and in no way meant to replace or serve as advice of a medical or mental health professional. All right. This letter that we got is subjected herpes scare ended my relationship, and it is written from fake name Colby. Hey y'all.
Hey Colby.
My name is Colby. I've been a long time fan and follow all of y'all's social medias. I think Rob gave me the honor of being a listener of the week way back when we used to do that. I've really appreciated y'all's voices over the years as I've navigated my own sexuality and maturation, etc. So here's my question/story, and I apologize for it being so long because I'm venting up in here. I've been in a relationship for 2.5 years now with a girl who I've always considered to be the love of my life. At the beginning of the year, she and I decided to open our relationship because we both are each other's first loves and we both wanted to explore our kinks and bisexuality. And everything was going great and we were just learning as we went along. made sure we had open communication and everything. I had an experience I shared with her. She was having her experiences that she was sharing with me. One of my goals in opening our relationship, though, was to be able to make genuine friendships as well. So I connected with this one individual. I admit originally it was for a sexual connection, but when she told me she had HSV2, which is herpes simplex virus 2, if you want to learn more about herpes, both simplex viruses, you can listen to our episode, Herpes is Not the End of the World, okay? And that will be linked in the show notes. When she told me she had HSV2, I recalled a conversation with my girlfriend and I had where we said we wouldn't put either of ourselves in a quote-unquote risky situation such as that. But instead of counting her out completely, I asked her more about her situation and she let me know she was taking medication and hasn't had any breakouts and the probability of me contracting anything would be like 1% to 2%. But I still thought maybe it wouldn't be the best situation for me and my girlfriend. So I decided to myself that she and I would just be friends and I'd come over just to smoke with her and that would be it. So I tell my girlfriend I'm planning on meeting with this person to smoke, but I don't mention I want to do anything sexual and I don't mention that she is HSV2 positive. Well, I end up going there and the sexual tension, ... One thing led to another and we end up having sex. In my head, I knew all I had to do was inform my girlfriend, be honest with her and everything would be fine, which is what I did the very next day. I told her everything that happened and told her that she has HSV2 and that she was taking medication and let her know the chances of me contracting anything were low, and at first things were fine. My girlfriend told me, don't worry, you'll be okay, we'll be okay, we just won't have sex until my STI has come back negative. But then there was the issue of dishonesty and me not letting her know the full situation, because I know had I told her she was HSV2 positive prior to going over there, she would have talked me against it and I would have never gone there. My intent wasn't necessarily to be dishonest, rather I just didn't think it was pertinent information.
Call me.
Yeah, you guys had a conversation about that. But I have to be honest with myself, and I admit that the level of communication that we had established wasn't what I was practicing in that moment. There you go. So regardless of my intent, I knew I should have been open and transparent with her. I also had a lot of self-confidence issues and have a pattern of self-sabotaging relationships, and my general mental health has been in the pooper since I was a kid. So this one decision is indicative of all the problems I've had with myself that I've never confronted before and have needed therapy for. My girlfriend had been telling me this since we first started dating, and me being a cis man, I just keep putting it off. So we ended up taking a break. During that time, I started taking therapy seriously. I decided I want to quit my job and pursue my art career instead. I came back to her after a week and explained everything. So said I'd never, ever keep anything from her ever again. And we got back together. I continued with my therapy, started making moves to quit my job, etc. But then about another week passed and she needed to talk again. She told me she had done some research about HSV2 and suffice it to say a lot of things scared her. The fact that you can test negative after the first 3 months, but the virus could pop up years later, you can be asymptomatic and still spread it. It being incurable and lifelong were her concerns. All that just wasn't gelling for her, so she broke up with me. She told me even if after my 3 month test comes back negative, she doesn't feel she'd be comfortable being intimate with me because that fear that I could pass something on to her would never leave her mind. This left me very much heartbroken because I felt it's the stigma associated with herpes that makes this so scary for both of us. Word. I think more time and research would be able to help our fears and anxieties. I ended up going back a couple of IHU episodes talking about herpes and they helped me understand the virus a lot better and calm me down. I sent them to her, but I don't think she listened to them or even wants to figure out a way through this and still be with me. I don't know what to do because I love her and I know we've been great for each other over these past 2.5 years and we never had an argument or any real disagreements that caused any issues before this. So the only time our relationship has been hard, it just hurts that everything we had can be thrown away because of 1% to 2% chance that I may have a mild lifelong skin condition. And the more I think about it, I feel it comes down to just being scared of the picture society has painted when it comes to herpes and what it is. Not to mention, it's a 98 to 99% chance I didn't contract anything at all. And for any individual that's ever had sex before, will never be 100% certain that they don't have any STIs, especially HSV2, considering most places don't even test for HSV2 if you don't have symptoms. So I feel I'm no different from anyone else she may choose to be intimate with. So that's no reason to end the relationship. But considering everything that happened and all of the emotions involved on both of our ends, I don't think she cares to research or explore the options with me anymore. I think our relationship was the closest to perfect as it could have been, and now I'm coming to an end because of herpes stigma. I'm really hoping I'm missing something through because I don't want to be the reason, but she's not the type to say one thing is the problem if it's really something else. If you all have any advice on my situation, then that would be helpful. We've been broken up officially for a few weeks, but I still think if she would just talk to me, then we could get through this, but we haven't talked since I sent her those IHU episodes, so I don't know. I'm working on myself now and trying to move on, but I don't think what we had is broken as it may is as broken as it may seem, and I just need another chance. I just don't know what to do. Thanks, and I wish y'all the best. Then Colby wrote an update because this email actually got caught in our spam folder and I didn't see it for like months. So Colby wrote in the update, a little update on what's happened since I first sent it. I don't really feel like there's anything I can do at this point, and probably there was never anything I could do. She and I are cordial, I guess. Her birthday passed at the beginning of the month. I wish her happy birthday. She said thanks, but that's it. But I just don't get the feeling that she has any desire to be with me. So it's probably a lost cause. And I think it's not so much me not having HSV2 that she doesn't trust. I think she just doesn't trust me anymore and thus can't trust things associated with me. I don't have anyone to blame but myself. You know, all I had to do was communicate and be honest. And regardless of stigma, I still broke the rules we agreed on. So it's just all on me. Now I'm trying to get my own life together. I'm on medical leave from my job until the end of April and sticking with my therapy and just trying to move forward as best I can. I'm focusing on trying to make genuine friendships. I feel like that would be the best for me than a romantic relationship right now anyway. This breakup messed me up and my depression almost took me out, but I think that's proof. I just need to focus on myself for myself so I don't hurt anybody like this again. I just wish I had done this years ago and this all could have been avoided. Signed, Colby.
Ooh, thank you, Colby, for trusting us with this letter. Yes. I am sorry that you were in the depths of depression, but it sounds like you're coming out on the other end with, you know, the support from therapy and whatever tools you and your therapist are working on. So I'm very, very excited about that for you. It seems like since you first sent this, a lot more clarity and accountability has come up for you, and that's great. But some notes that I took down, because at some point I was like, oh, I got to write some things down. I think there's an idea in relationships that relationships can be going so well, and if it's not a turbulent, contentious relationship, then it should just go on forever. And it's like, y'all don't gotta be fist fighting, y'all don't gotta be arguing every day. Everything can be quote unquote perfect, and then there's something that occurs that ends the relationship, that the relationship just cannot stand the stress of. Mm-hmm. And this was it. I don't want to say that it was just not only her stigma against herpes that ended, you know, the relationship. I do think that there were some trust issues there, lack of communication there that could have played a part. But with thorough, you know, if it was just the herpes, with thorough education, you know, seeking medical providers, if that was a deal breaker for her, mm-hmm. that was a deal breaker for her. We hit it. We found that out. And she couldn't move past that deal breaker. Mm-hmm. So any amount of education, any amount of talks with a medical provider, any amount of counseling, you had hit a deal breaker for her in interacting with someone who, what's the word I'm looking for? Interacting with someone who has herpes or any other STI. Mm-hmm. And that was a boundary she set. Y'all clearly spoke about that. And in that moment, you bypassed that boundary. Mm-hmm. Not to guilt yourself. There's a difference between guilt and accountability, or shaming ourselves and holding ourselves accountable. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we make selfish ass decisions like that. You knew I could have this conversation. Mm-hmm. I could let her know that, hey, I met up with this person, initially was sexually interested. She told me X, Y, and Z. I thought about what we talked about, said that's not, you know, where we want to go, and I want to pursue a friendship with her, so I'm going to go smoke with mm-hmm. her. But you knew there was a chance that she'd say, I'm still not comfortable with that, and you didn't want to go through mm-hmm. that. You said, I want to go smoke, mm-hmm. And I think a part of you was lying to yourself. We do that and saying, oh, we got sexual tension with this person, but we just going to be friends. We going to be fucking. I'm old enough now.
I always know I'm going to fuck. Hey, let me just bring some condoms because I'm pretty sure this is how this is going to go.
Because I could say we're going to go watch anime, but there might be a chance.
Yeah.
There might be a chance. Let me be fully honest with myself. And I'm not saying we don't have self-control or anything, but it's like, you knew what your original intentions were. Mm-hmm. And those just don't kind of go away.
Can I interject quickly?
Yes.
You also knew, like, already how you felt about herpes, right? Because you've listened to the show. So you already know, like, oh, this is not a big deal and stuff like that. So, like, even to kind of reframe it, because I don't condone the fact that you broke boundaries in your relationship. And this mm-hmm. is, like, why your girlfriend is taking this course of action or whatever. But, like, also, like, you're at a place now where you have a better understanding of STIs and things like that. And that stigma doesn't bother you. So you're growing in a different direction than how she is growing. Mm-hmm. So, like... Mm-hmm. That is a pretty big deal in an open relationship if you feel differently about STIs.
Took the words right out of my mouth. That is a big deal in an open relationship because those two views will continue to create points of contention. And it, of course, limits the amount of sexual partners you can mm-hmm. have. And it's going, unless you guys can restructure those boundaries, you would have ended up here.
Right. Exactly.
It might be painful to hear, but that relationship ran its course. And again, I think that we get trapped up in relationships going so well, having minimal disagreements. The way that relationships are depicted in society and media tells you that they need to be rough and rocky all the mm-hmm. time. So when you finally get in one in which it isn't, you're like, oh, well, this one's taking us till death, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, it's forever. And it's like, no, number one, the depictions of relationships are horrid and abusive. Mm-hmm. Relationships should not be based on that. The relationship you had with your ex, from what you've described, sounded healthy and what should be the model of relationships. And even in that, there can be points where it's like, this is just isn't working mm-hmm. for us anymore. Though we speak, and the bar is in hell that when you meet the basics,
and we're not fighting.
It's like, we're not. I respect what you say and I listen. I take your thoughts and opinions and feelings into consideration. Mm-hmm. We enjoy each other's company. Oh my, we have mutual interests. There's no third baby mama. What's that? This is heaven sent. Yeah. No, it's basic. Mm-hmm.
That's the actual standard.
Yeah, that's the actual standard. And from that, you hope to be able to grow and evolve with your partner. But it sounds like you guys are starting to hit a place where you were growing separately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she, I don't want to say maybe she's not ready to grow, but she didn't listen to the resources that you sent. It didn't seem like she was in the space to learn or expand herself in that way. And maybe she will in a different time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's resources she goes back to. That's why they're mm-hmm. there. But yeah, you guys hit a point where it was time to part, even though things felt so good and so great. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I don't have anything else to add, but we wish you the best, Colby. And also, like Akua said, thank you very much for writing to us and feeling comfortable with us to share this very fraught time in your relationship and your life and things like that. And I think a lot of people in open relationships will resonate with this kind of story. So did good writing into us.
Please, as best as you can, continue with therapy and continue to quote unquote work on yourself. I don't feel like ourselves are projects, but I understand that phrase, mm-hmm. And continue to grow, emotionally and mentally and physically with yourself. Because that brings the best into a relationship. We have to be whole people who are trying to achieve wholeness so we can be two people in a relationship rather than enmeshed halves.
Really great point. Damn, you be writing, bitch. I'm ready to read it. You got away with words. All right. Okay. That has been an episode. If this episode made you laugh, help you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively move you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of yous.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at In A Whole Uprising without the G on Twitter, at In A Whole Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can head over to InAWholeUprising.com to pay a hoe and to pop some merch. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram.
I'm Slam Red on Instagram and Twitter. Have a lovely week because you motherfucking deserve to. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.